I never once thought that maybe because they lived in America that their belief systems were changing too.
What are my values? What do I really want to do? Time isn't running out.
My journey gives me a different perspective on life. Everyone is like that.
I kind of feel a little more fearless in chasing music all the way.
I want you to learn that there's a difference between speaking poorly about your parents and speaking clearly about things that are affecting you.
The fulfillment is not going to come without hard work.
You know in your heart kind of who you are.
It's the right choice. It's 100% the right choice.
When you're they see like those questions.
Teaching schools,
study in Chennai.
There's like a deeper meaning behind all of this. Like it's how you were raised, what you were taught, what you were conditioned to believe.
This is the Desi Condition.
What's up, Bondus? I've waited an entire season and year to be able to say that, so this is very exciting. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Desi Condition. I'm Anu, your co-host, and today I have the honor of co-hosting this very special episode along with Dhanushree, our founder, and Ravi, our audio engineer, who will be my partner in crime. Woo. And fun fact, Dhanushree was not provided these questions ahead of time, so we will be getting her responses in real time.
Yeah, we will.
This is so fun. I don't know if you can call me a co-host if I'm just kind of being bombarded with, I don't even know what's going to happen today, but...
Yeah, so she got some of the questions, not all the questions.
Some of them. The serious ones, which we will not be kicking off with.
Yeah, so we're gonna take turns asking you questions.
Okay, so is this a co-host situation or is this like a victim situation? I guess we'll find out.
It's a co-host situation.
Oh, I would have said victim.
Don't worry. No.
I don't know. Ravi sounds like he's ready to attack.
Don't see it that way.
I'm so ready.
Let's do it. Let's do the thing. I'm ready. Can't wait.
All right. So we wanted to start off this very fun and lighthearted episode with some silly and fun questions. So my first question to you, Dhanushree, is what would your cat say about you if we asked for a reference?
Oh, my God. This is such a great question. I think about this all the time. I have had dreams in which like, okay, this is maybe like a little TMI, but I've had dreams in which I give birth to Pippin and Merry. I have had dreams in which Pippin and Merry come to me as like little girls. So like I had a dream once in which they were like just these like 12-year-old little girls. And I thought deeply about this, you know, because they're adopted. I was like, oh, if they're adopted, then maybe they're not South Asian. So like one of them was Iranian. The other one was Hispanic. Like these are just randomly races that I chose for my cats if they were human. This is so weird. I need to stop talking about it. Okay. Anyway.
Keep going, please. I love this.
I love it too.
My hope is that they would think of me as like a mom figure. I think they know that I'm just so cuddly and I feed them maybe a little bit too much. Okay, reference. They know that I work a lot. I mean, they can tell you. So like I've been teaching pre-calc online. So, I mean, I think that they can tell you all about hyperbola. So that in there is the reference that you need. I'm a math teacher. I'm good at it. I taught cats. There we go.
Nice. Ravi, do you want to go with for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. This is my question. I'm very proud of it. Would you rather... This is a fight situation, okay? We're going to stick to the theme of animals here. Would you rather square it out with 50 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Okay. You know, they talk about horsepower and that's supposed to be like a lot, right? But we're talking about it as a smaller magnitude, like scaled down. So this is an interesting question. I wonder what the proportion. Okay, I'm gonna have to do like some math for this, but I want to know the proportion of like the volume of a duck to a horse. And I think whichever one is gonna give me a smaller scale factor, that's the one I would fight. My guess is that the small, well, let's see, what is an army of duck-sized horses? Like, how many horses are we talking? 5, 10, 20?
50.
50, okay. Okay, mm-hmm. Did you just make that up or was that in the question?
No, that's part of the question.
Oh, okay, so I just wasn't listening. Okay, great. I need to pay attention.
She's like, I'm ready to fight. I don't care how many there are.
Okay, my guess is that the volume of one duck-sized, or sorry, one horse-sized duck is much smaller than an army of the horses that are duck-sized. So I would rather fight the one figure. Also, I would get less distracted because there's just one thing to fight rather than 50.
That would be my answer too.
Yeah, there's a correct answer.
But so ducks, birds are awesome, but the thought of like a giant duck scares the shit out of me because they have like riveted beaks and they can actually like bite you and like break skin.
That's true. Okay, maybe there isn't a right answer to this.
You just gotta pick the lesser of two evils.
Lesser of two evils, I agree. I'd feel bad hurting any animal, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I know.
All right, Anu.
We're gonna veer away from the animal questions. And my question to you is, if you could trade places for a day with one of your previous guests, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow! What a great question! Okay, wow, that's a hard one. They're all so great. Okay, what I'm going to do is pull up the episodes and look at the guests.
I'm trying to like think which one she would want to be in the life of. Anish?
Anish would be fun to be for a day. I don't know. Anish works a lot, though. All these people work a lot.
Vibs? She just got engaged.
Oh, I know. Okay. I love the idea of being a comedian, so it would have to be either Anish or Shafi, or I could be... I like the idea of being a performer, so maybe I would be Sajib.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of Sajib.
I thought about him.
I just mentioned the three Bengali dudes that have been on the podcast. I think there might be something revealing in there.
All dudes?
Yeah, interestingly. Yeah, you know what? I would be Nosheen. I would be Nosheen because she travels a fuck ton and she has no fear and she does not give a fuck and she's just so like collected. Also, she just has the best podcaster voice and I'm really jealous of it. I would be Nosheen.
She was season 3, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That name sounds familiar.
I loved her. I would be her too if that like that was my first person.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, that's like the obvious choice.
She's great.
I like that. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Solid. Okay, my go? All right, here we go. Sticking to the theme of guests, out of the following, what kind of guest would you rather have on the show? I've got three options. A.
These are too much.
A, someone who doesn't answer the question. B, someone who speaks too quietly. Or C, someone who answers with one word.
Oh, that would piss me off.
I want to hear you go off.
Okay, the one word thing has never happened to me. I don't think I would even have somebody like that on the show. Because, like, I'm meeting them before they're on the show. So, like, I can vet for that kind of thing. So, what would I rather have? I mean, those are all terrible options. Someone who doesn't answer the question, at least they're talking a lot, and hopefully they're speaking about like something kind of interesting, like an interesting story that relates to their life. And what was the other one? Someone who speaks too quietly. Probably that one, because I can always amplify their voice in post, right? Well, or you can amplify their voice in post production.
Just turn up the gain.
Yeah.
I think we actually have to do that for a guest this season. I'm not going to say who, but.
Oh, man, I want to know.
you and I are looking at each other and thinking of it right now, and we're on the same wavelength.
No, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't remember.
I'll text you later. Okay.
I mean, clearly I was able to hear them during the conversation, so I was good.
Okay. Do you have any, like, rants associated with that? Like, things that irk you about, not maybe necessarily about the guests, but, like, the recording process?
Yeah, but they're mostly like about myself and my own incompetence. I like am somehow still incompetent with like setting up my mic and stuff sometimes. Like sometimes it'll just be working and then the next day it's like, wait, I was just using this and it's like not connecting and I don't understand. Ugh, I'm the problem here is what I'm trying to say.
That's a really sweet answer. You're too humble.
Right. Well, we're definitely going to take a step back from the silly questions and we're going to go into the serious ones, which were the ones that I shared with you yesterday. But I love these because it's just, I feel like these questions are going to give us a lot more insight into TDC and just you and just the future of TDC. So my first question is, let's talk about the origins of the Desi Condition. What were your first thoughts when you came up with the idea of the podcast? And did you ever think it would be where it is today?
Yeah. So as you know, I started the podcast with a friend of mine. And we were just having this whole conversation about mental health and how we're both Bengali. And so how being Bengali played a huge factor in not addressing mental health. And then also we were talking about just like South Asian culture in general. And we started talking a little bit about history, particularly with like Bangladeshi history, which is something that I have talked about a lot, or at least referred to a lot on the podcast. So we were talking about all of that. And you know, it kind of just floated into my mind, the word, the Desi Condition. I was like, what we're talking about here, this is the Desi Condition. This is like the human condition, but from the Desi perspective. So yeah, that's kind of, it was really just trying to pick apart the different barriers and trying to dive into why, and like just really interrogating that question of why mental health, like why is mental health so hard, particularly hard for this community?
Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned this when I first joined the team, it was just exactly a year ago. And I know you mentioned you incorporate a lot of history in your initial episodes. Like, I just want to know your thoughts on like how the podcast has changed over time and like, you know, just like the journey that it's taken since its inception.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, I did a lot more of looking into history, and I am going to go back into that. What happened, I think, was I realized after my co-host from season one left that I wanted to have more of a people-centered approach anyway on the show. So it was like kind of like the timing just worked out. Like I could rebrand and I could start like rethinking the model of the show. So then I was thinking about how I wanted to do it. And it was Karthik that said this word that like really put a word to what it is that I was doing. He said scenario mapping. And I haven't stopped saying it ever since he said it. He said it like a year ago. But I realized after the fact that that's actually what I was doing, is scenario mapping what South Asians, you know, what their experience has been like trying to combat like the different barriers in mental health, in reaching their real potential and aspirations and motivations. So that said, it definitely went from more of a historical, I think it goes around a little bit. It hops around a little bit. When it's necessary, I still do a lot of that historical research. Like when I talked about ADD, when I talked about eating disorders, I did do a lot of that. Those are just some examples. And it'll come back when it needs to come back. But because we've been doing more scenario mapping as of late, I haven't done as much of it. But it'll come back. I have a lot of stuff planned.
I like it. I have an off-script question, if you're game.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of going off of the same thing, I remember when you and I were working on the season 3 intro together, there was this one time where I asked you, I was like, oh, do you want to update the cover photo for the podcast too? And you're like, no, for sure no. So coming back to like the origins of the podcast, can you like talk about the colors and the imagery in the podcast cover and what all that means?
This is a great question. So there was a different logo before season 2. It was a lilac logo with white leaves and the text in yellow. So the Desi Condition was still in yellow. And I, for whatever reason, I was really adamant that it would be yellow. Because I wanted it to have that kind of turmeric vibe to it. I just think that turmeric, there's such a rich history behind turmeric. So many of our pads have been affected by turmeric in South Asia. Look it up. It's fascinating. I won't talk about it right now, but it's great. But also turmeric is just such a staple in our lives as South Asians. And we're really like known for, we take a lot of pride in our turmeric. So I really wanted there to be like an element of turmeric. And then when I rebranded, I wanted it to have a more earthy feel because I realized that what I wanted was to create something that was more connected, and I had just come out of, like, you know, this depressive, suicidal even episode, where what I realized was that I really needed to just, like Spider-Man, put webs out and connect myself to anything and everything that I could. And that meant requiring, like, building a community. And that's why community has been in the bio since day one. Community was in the bio. The word community, also samosa, is equally important. And so because of that, I want to tie myself to community, to people, to feelings, to thoughts, to objectives, I see that as the same as connecting myself to this earth, this physical earth, because I'm then connected to myself more. Because I get power from my relationships with other people. So it needed to have an earthy feel. That's where the green came from. That's where the brown came from. And then the coconut trees in the background. They're not palm trees, actually. They're coconut trees. But they do look very similar, which I didn't really think about. But I'm fine with it either way. But coconut trees, you know, coconuts are just... Who doesn't love a coconut? Well, I guess lots of people do. But there's something very wrong with those people. But anyways, coconuts in South Asia, like, they kind of go. Like, they kind of go together. I guess it could have been a mango tree, but... Coconuts. Coconut is a little bit of a nod to the, you know, the coconut, quote unquote, like, it's kind of a, like, racial slur.
I love that. Very, very clever.
Yeah. So it's kind of a slur. So I was like, let's just throw that in there because we're going to address this. We're going to talk about this.
I like that.
Yeah. I thought about it a lot. I spent like 3 full days working on it, like 24 hours at a time.
That's pretty cool. Did you do the design yourself?
I did, yeah. I mean, right before you guys got there, I was doing everything by myself. Like, every part of it, editing, all the art, all the posts, everything was just me and myself. So I just sat on Photoshop for, like, probably 50-plus hours and went through... I can show you the thousands of iterations I went through for the logo until I finally was just happy with it. So that's why when you asked if I wanted to change the logo, I was like, no, we're not. I'm not doing that again.
I love that. Okay, that's cool. That's cool that there's so much meaning behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I know we had that post about it recently, but I was curious to hear, like, the verbal explanation behind it too.
Yeah, it's always hard to fit everything into one Instagram post. So it's a good question. I'm glad you asked it.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. What is the biggest takeaway or lesson that you've had from doing the podcast?
Yeah, also a great question. So I think, it's hard. It's a hard question, but it's a good one. The biggest thing that sticks out to me, or maybe the first thing that sticks out to me, is that you can't self-reject. And I cannot believe how long and in how many different areas of my life I have self-rejected. So now with this podcast, it's kind of nuts. I mean, once I started podcasting, once I got through, like, the first episode or two, I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing this. Like, it wasn't even a question. It's like, it was like I was on autopilot. I was just doing it, like, robotically. And not really robotically. It was obviously done thoughtfully, but I was just like... It was like clockwork. I was just doing it and I was ready to do it every back then. I was posting every week a new episode. I was just always ready to do it. I didn't feel like, well, maybe I'm doing this wrong or maybe I need to. And of course, I was self-reflective about it and I was always trying to get better, but I wasn't like I shouldn't do this at all. Somehow, I think it was just like giving myself power through finding my voice through podcasting is what just shut all of that off, like shut off, you know, what they call like a shadow. Somehow just talking through the podcast was shadow work for me. So yeah, just not learning not to self-doubt, at least for a bit. it comes up, but at least in the beginning, like, it was enough momentum that now that things are rolling, I have that self-doubt, but I don't listen to it as much.
I have a follow-up question to that. I'm curious. Do you feel like because you were able to create this community to talk about these issues that were so personal to you, not all of them, but most of them, do you feel like that really, like, that gave you a purpose outside of yourself that, like, you know, that's why you had the momentum to keep going?
So one day after a therapy session, I have always been a fan of journaling, but I was doing it more intentionally because of therapy. And I sat down and I was like, what is it that I want to do? I was also in the middle of job searching. And so I was like, what is it that I want to do for my job? And from it came a couple of things. One of those things was podcasting, or reaffirming that I wanted to podcast. And the other thing was teaching. But what I wrote in my journal was, and I wasn't writing very seriously, mind you, but I was just kind of free writing and saying anything, even if it wasn't possible. But I was like, I would just love if somebody would hire me to just carry me around in their pocket, and I could give them words of like enthusiasm and encouragement, and I could connect them to different resources that they need for whatever goals that they have, like whether it's career or anything else. And, you know, I could just be like their personal little cheerleader. I'd be so good at that. So that was the thing that showed me that, like, okay, that's what a good teacher does. And really reaffirmed that I just really want there to be interconnectedness in the community. I like talked about this a lot with, you know, we talked about this a lot with Sajib on the last episode. And it's the whole idea behind community and the Desi Condition and the Desi Collaborative, which is coming up. So that definitely fueled me, just realizing that, like, my whole purpose here on this earth, going back to your question, my whole purpose here, I feel like, is to just uplift other people and help them lift other people up.
That's beautiful.
I like that. How long did it take you to come to that realization?
Like 26 and a half years. But more seriously, I mean, I don't know when's the start of that time frame, I guess. Maybe like since I started doing therapy at that point. So yeah, months of journaling. Months of just sitting and thinking and podcasting and talking and writing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I like that answer because it shows people that like you don't have to have everything figured out at like 18. You know?
Oh, I super did not have things figured out. Even like a couple of years ago, even a year ago, I don't think I had anything figured out. Yeah, I think I had this revelation about 2.5 years ago, but then I didn't actually get to be a teacher until last year. So things take time, you know, you need to give yourself time. Maybe that's the other big thing that I learned, is that just give yourself time. You're not running out of it.
Yeah. And now you're chasing a master's.
I know. Yeah, this will be my second master's. I'm very excited about it. Surprisingly, I can't believe I just keep going back to school. I hated school growing up, but here I am going back to school.
To go back to school.
Yeah.
After that.
To be in school forever.
That's so funny. Wait, so what all degrees do you have? You have a MEC-E degree, right?
Yes, I have my bachelor's in mechanical engineering. I have my master's in industrial design, and I am about to get my master's in teaching for math education for grades 7 through 12.
Talk about breaking barriers.
Yeah.
There's just so many different things. Like, you look at my resume and it's like, this girl has ADD.
You know what's crazy? I just graduated with my master's like less than a month ago, and like every day I'm just kind of like, what's next? Like, I want to go back to school, but it's just like this whole... The whole concept of like being in even more debt is just like, that's the only reason why I'm not actually like seriously entertaining it. But I have like serious FOMO because I like actually want to go back to school again. And I haven't even been in the workforce yet, like with my degree. So it's crazy. Like, I know how you feel.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think that my work experience was super, super valuable. I did work for several years before becoming a teacher. But, you know, I get it. And to be honest with you, the only reason I'm going back to school right now is because a lot of it is going to be funded through a fellowship program that I'm doing. Otherwise, I don't know if I could handle loans from another graduate degree right now, you know? But I got really, really lucky.
The next question I feel like is going to be an easy answer. You kind of already answered it, but did you ever want to stop? And how did you get past that?
Sometimes I do want to stop. That has happened more like in the last year or so, because I just have so many things happening and I can't make TDC my full-time job. It's very much a nights and weekends thing. And sometimes at the end of the day, I'm just like, most people are shutting off their laptops and working out or hanging out with friends or hanging out with their family. And I'm just like I'm closing my work laptop and I'm opening up my personal laptop so that I can, like, I'm just moving to it. Sometimes I have 20 minutes to stop for dinner and I'm just doing this again. So it's exhausting, you know, and it feels like I do a lot and like I don't know that I'm always getting the results that I want. But I think anyone starting anything new is always like, no, like I want 10,000 followers right now. You know, like there's never an end to what it is that you want. But, you know, it's like I said before, you just have to give yourself time. I know that I'm putting everything that I can possibly put into it, given the parameters that I have. So I just don't want to sit here and lament what more could I have done, because I have certain parameters, right? I only have so many hours that I can work on this in a week. I have another job like that I really, really love. And so I have to kind of like logic myself out of it. Like, what is a realistic thing that I can do this week? And I try to make that goal. And if I don't, you know what? Like, I'll do it next week. Like, nobody's going to die if I like don't put out this Instagram post or whatever it is that I need to be doing, you know?
That makes sense.
Nothing is that high stakes. Like, I just don't want to take anything in life to be so high stakes. It's not.
Do you think that mentality comes with age? Because I feel like personally that is what's happening with me.
Just like the mentality of learning to not take things so seriously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I think that there are some lucky people who are just born with an innate ability to know that life is just not that serious. And I think on some level, I always kind of knew that. But then I would always feel this press of time of, I think at some point time was probably my biggest fear, like real fear I had, because it was just always running out. So, I mean, for me, like, it was definitely like something that I have to learn and I have to keep relearning that, like, no, it's not that serious. Everything's fine. You're fine. You're doing the best you can. But then also being real with myself that when I've just been bullshitting all day, I have to acknowledge I've been bullshitting all day. But also maybe I just needed to bullshit, you know? I don't know. For me, it came with age, but I've definitely seen some people and I've been kind of envious of those people who are just like, nah, everything's cool. But then at the same time, you never really know what someone's going through. So
I like all that. I have a bunch of thoughts buzzing in my head that I don't think I could turn that into questions.
You can say your thoughts.
I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like, there's a part of me that's excited to get older and learn to take life less seriously. Because I'm very much, for me personally, I'm very much in the moment of surrounded by people that are doing a million things and they're like 23 years old. And I'm like, shit, I'm behind.
Don't burn yourself out, though. And then some people get older and they take life more seriously because they have more things to do. I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be better with age.
Yeah, I feel that.
That's my goal. My goal in life is to just keep getting better with age.
I think you've said that before on a podcast.
I may have said that.
She has definitely said that.
Yeah, I vaguely remember you saying that before.
You said that on the episode with Hani and I. And you were talking about how you never understood how people like always complain about getting older because it's like, what are you comparing yourself to?
What's
like,
so great about you that you think you can only get better?
Yeah. And that was a very cool perspective.
Yeah. I remember exactly what I said. Yeah. What I said was, what's so great about you now that you think you can only get worse with age? And now it's like my motto to life.
And that's a complete opposite of what like societal expectations and like are and like what is like projected onto you. And like as you said, Ravi, like you're younger and like I feel like people that are younger feel this need to just like hustle so hard. Like hustle culture is so part of like our lifestyle, right? Like, okay, you're working, but like, what else are you doing? You know, like, okay, you're working and you're, you know, you have this side thing going on. Like, what else are you doing? It's just like this bottomless pit. So it's very refreshing to hear that, you know, taking the pressure off and like not feeling like you're running out of time and not feeling like you have to be involved in 10 different things is totally healthy and totally normal.
Yeah, I agree. I think seeing more and more examples of people like Thunderstree just give me and other people confidence that time isn't running out.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting a whole career over from scratch at 29 years old. That's where I'm at right now in my life.
And killing it.
Like, what am I going to do? Not do it? I'm just going to, like, I was just going to stay in the field that I didn't feel like doing because I just was too scared to start over at 29. That sounds crazy to me. That just sounds like a life sentence.
So many people do. So many people do because it's safer.
Yeah.
So many people.
Is it safer, though? Because, like, it's like, it feels like a life sentence. I mean, it's not, like, mentally safe.
It's perspective.
Yeah.
I would say it's not as much mentally safe, but it's more, like, economically safe.
Like, financially sound. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people have reasons for the choices that they make.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kind of transitioning from that, what do you think is the future of the Desi condition in your eyes?
The future. So I have dreamt about this. I dream a lot. Whether it's during the day or at night, I'm just always dreaming. I'm a big dreamer. I have dreamt about just like a big, beautiful space with like marble and everybody just like, you know, people walking around with hors d'oeuvres and everybody just picking at like delicious little things. And it's just all of the guests and a bunch of listeners and all of you guys are there and we're all just chatting and being friends and some people find each other and they're like hooking up in a corner and I'm like, you this is great. I ship it. I love it. And there's people hooking up in the corner and then there's people taking like walks and there's people like exchanging business cards and
got the whole perspective.
It sounds like Woodstock. It sounds like the South Asian Woodstock.
South Asian Woodstock. South Asian Wood. That's such a good description.
Okay, I love that you're saying Woodstock, right? Because the next thing I was gonna say is that also there's a rock concert in the next room.
Yeah.
And maybe Navita's playing.
The thing I thought of was like, leave it to South Asians to network at a rock concert.
100%, 100%. It's all an opportunity to network.
So this is my fantasy for the Desi condition. I think the takeaway from that dream is that what I really want is just for us all to hold hands and be friends. To like build community. I mean, yes, that, but you know, to build more community and like just to build more connections. And, you know, I think that we don't support each other enough, particularly among South Asians, and that really needs to change. And I want to at least be able to change, like, whatever my Desi condition bubble is. Like, expand that bubble and change that enough that they do start to support each other, like many other ethnic groups do.
I like that.
I love that.
Any hints towards season 4?
I don't know. I don't want to give spoilers. There's a lot coming up, though. Just a lot coming up, like, just in the time frame of season 4. Like, a lot more of Desi collaborative stuff, a lot more Clubhouse chats, a lot more... I don't know if I should announce this on this episode, but... Okay, I'm just going to say it because I'm excited. But there's going to be an advice column that we're working on. Well, we're adopting an advice column, so that's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of stuff coming up. I don't want to give too much away, though.
Heard it here first. Take notes. Sorry, I cut you off on it. What were you saying earlier?
I was saying, you know, I forgot what I was going to say. I completely forgot what I was going to say, but I do have one last serious question for you, and then we're going to go back to this, Elise. So what's one rant or vent that you have related to doing the podcast?
A rant or a vent? I don't know. So many things about podcasting are just so wonderful for me. I love... Can I just, like, do a rant of love?
Oh, my heart.
This is your episode. Whatever you gotta say.
I mean, technically, this is your episode, and I'm just a guest. But I'm gonna do that because I can't... I'm not even angry about it, really. It's just great, you know? I just get to come here and talk about stuff that and people actually listen, and it's, like, stuff that's, like, actually in my heart, you know? But what I love is that there are other guests that come on the show, and it's not just me talking. There's some episodes where I feel like I don't even talk at all. And people just come, and they... I feel like they just are like say all the things that I've been thinking or worried about. And it's like they kind of help me get the message out there. So I just love the fact that like I come here and like I make friends. I made so many friends through podcasting and I'm putting a positive message out there and we're thinking and we're learning and we're like constantly interrogating different questions. So I don't have any like negative rants about it. I'm just really happy. I like this. This is fun.
That's awesome. You sound like a proud mama.
TDC mom.
I feel like I sound like a 5-year-old. I'm like, this is fun. I'm happy.
I love this.
That's so sweet. Okay. You ready to wrap it up with some more sillies?
I'm ready for the sillies. I'm always ready for the sillies.
All right, let's do it. Okay. So you're the lead artist of a Desi hip hop group. What is your group's name?
Oh, wow. Okay. This is one thing I have not dreamt about. Okay, like I have a little bit.
She's going to dream about it tonight. Oh, never mind.
I have, but we never had like a name. It was so I think like in my head, I never thought about the name because at some point, so I used to listen to a lot of alternative rock growing up. And so at some point I realized that to come up with a group name, all you need to do is take an adjective and a noun and put them together. Sorry, a verb and a noun and put them together. I'm a math teacher, guys. So like,
you're excused.
This is embarrassing. I used to teach SAT English too. Okay. So like Running Light. That's a band name right there. Okay. Like they're all band names. Jogging Motorcycle. It's fine. Just do whatever you want. People have such weird band names these days.
But what would yours be called?
What about Tasty Turmeric?
Something with turmeric? Yeah, I love it.
Tasty turmeric.
Okay, tasty, I think, implies something, though. Maybe just, like, ground turmeric. That's all I want.
Okay.
Ground turmeric, the Desi hip-hop group, led by Thunderstreet Escoots.
Ooh, ground turmeric, yeah, gives a little bit of edge, because I think that I would have a rock band, actually.
Okay.
I think there'd be, like, a tiny bit of screaming in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and a heavy bass.
What performer would you be? Would you be the drummer, the bassist, the guitarist, or the singer?
I would randomly be like the sitarist.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a singer. I'd be a singer and I'd just be like jumping around and running around on stage. Or can I be a backup dancer to my own band? I would love that. I'd be so good at it.
You could be whatever you want.
I used to dance in college and I loved it.
I would come see the show. Maybe you could do all of them. Maybe you could have like a sitar set and then you could have a singing set.
Oh my gosh. You're reminding me of Lindsay Sterling right now. You know Lindsay Sterling?
Yeah, the violinist.
Oh, she's awesome.
She's great. For people who don't know, she's fucking awesome. Just check her up. She plays a violin and she also dances, but she's like doing it at the same time. And she's just like running around with the violin and it is so hard. I mean, she plays some really complex stuff. It's so good. Like she needs to be watched. It's great. But that's what that reminds me of. I think I'd like to be Lindsay Sterling.
Lindsay Sterling of Ground Turmeric.
I love it. We're going to go back to animals now. If you could read the mind of any animal, what would it be and why?
I'm calling it cats.
Probably a New York City pigeon. Just kidding.
Oh my God.
That's mine.
No.
Me and Anna both just got so excited.
I know. Wait, Robbie, do you like pigeons too?
Oh, I freaking love birds in general.
Oh, but did you guys see my story with the turkey vultures the other day? That was not cute.
Yes.
They were scary.
For my cell phone, they were really cute.
They were not cute. They were horrifying. And Ravi responded to my story like, he said BIRB. And I'm like, no. These are turkey vultures.
Dude, me and Anu are going to come to Tenerife for bird translations. I'm going to be like, what is that pigeon saying?
Yeah, no, I don't think I care that much about what birds are thinking. Yeah. I'll take my answer back.
She's not doing the yes.
Man. Wait, so what is your answer? Cats?
I would love to know what Pippin and Mary are thinking at all times, but I feel like that's the easy answer. If it wasn't cats, I think it would be elephants. I love elephants. Maybe my favorite animal. Yep, definitely my favorite animal. So it's between cats and elephants.
Yeah. After pigeons for me, too.
After pigeons,
after
right.
After pigeons, for me.
New York City's pigeons, to be specific.
To be, yes.
I can't wait to meet them. I'm going to befriend them.
They're certainly a goofy type.
Okay. Would you rather have an uncontrollable itch that attacks at sporadic times or always have chapped lips?
Oh, I've heard you ask this question before.
I have asked this before.
Yeah. Uncontrollable itch, does it matter? Where is that itch?
It's random. It could be your neck, it could be your side.
So it changes all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not one place. Oh, so I can't even like prep for it with like Vicks in my underwear or something.
No. Does that help with itching? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Like, should I be putting Vicks on my mosquito bites?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let me think. So let me ask about these chapped lips. If you have chapped lips and you put some like Vaseline on immediately, will it still stay chapped after Vaseline does its thing?
Vaseline has no effect.
No effect. Oh, wow. Can I exfoliate my lips?
You can try.
Sure, it won't change the fact that they're chapped.
Okay.
This is so evil.
I think I would choose the lips because I think that the itch, if it just comes up randomly and I'm surprised by it, that could be really bad if I'm in a certain setting, right? That could be very embarrassing and that could be very distracting. So I think I'm going to go with lips. Although I hate chapped lips. I think I'm going to go with the itch, actually.
Oh, we're down the middle.
Yeah.
Audie, do you have an opinion?
I'm going straight up with the lips. I'm not doing the uncontrollable itch. It's actually like a huge pet peeve of mine, like being itchy. I can't handle it. It actually makes me angry. So I'm going to go with the chapped lips. And I also can't stand chapped lips. So this is saying a lot.
I feel that. I think that's what I would go with as well. Because like I think you nailed the reason why on the dot. The fact that like it would invade on social situations.
Mm-hmm.
So be like at the bar talking to a girl and just be like, oh, shit.
You're right. Like, I should go with the chapped lips. I'm going to go with the chapped lips.
Good call.
All right, last question. This is not a silly one. I feel like it's more of like an insightful one. If you can go back in time and give yourself advice, what age would you go back to and what advice would you give yourself?
This sounds like a question that I should have spent a lot of time thinking about, but I don't. And so this is the first time I'm thinking about this. The reason I don't think about it is because I don't sit and like, I don't like have regrets about my life or anything. But if I could give myself advice, yeah, I think I would go back to early college years and just tell myself that I don't just have to do the thing that I'm good at. And I shouldn't necessarily just choose the thing that's easy for me. To provide context. Basically, I went into engineering because it was like, that's what I was good at. I was good at math. I was good at physics and basically nothing else. And I didn't think that I was going to be good at teaching. I wanted to teach back when I was in school, but I didn't because I was like, I'm not going to be good at it. So I'm not going to do it. But engineering, I can get good at it. And so I did that only to realize that nobody's good at teaching when they first start. So goes back to like, give yourself time to get good at it. So I think that is what I would tell myself.
That's so wholesome.
But I will caveat that by saying that I'm happy that I didn't get into teaching immediately. I'm happy that I have all this experience before doing it because I think it just makes me more valuable to the students because I do have older students. They're mostly juniors and seniors. They're like on that cusp of adulthood, trying to figure out their careers and things like that. So I do think that like, I'm very happy with the things the way that things went. But yeah, if I could give myself advice, I would like to have learned that a little bit sooner.
I love that. That's really sweet.
I like that answer a lot, actually. And the reason why I like it so much is it's because it doesn't change anything. Like you don't have regrets, but it's also very thoughtful. Like you're very accepting of your journey, which not a lot of people are.
Retweet.
Yeah, what a waste of time to sit and regret things. It's like I said, I'm just getting better with age. Not worse.
That's like the quotable Thunderstream moment that everybody's going to remember you for. Always get better with age.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly. Time is an opportunity.
Okay. Well, in good tradition, as with all the other episodes, is there anything else that we haven't yet asked you about or discussed that you'd like to share?
Let's see. Oh my gosh, I had a dream about you guys the other night.
Wait, like us or the guests?
No, you guys.
Oh, shoot.
Oh my gosh, no, that's... I mean, I don't even think my brain has the capacity for that much imagination. But yeah, so obviously, like I said, I dream a lot. And so I'm just putting this on the episode so that I can manifest this into a reality. But I had a dream about you guys, like as in the team. And we were sitting on a beach, on some beach chairs, feet up, reading books, martinis around, cocktails with little umbrellas in them. I didn't have an umbrella in mine because that's not the eco-friendly thing to do, but it's a symbolic thing, you know? And just like chatting away, looking at the waves, going into the water. And, you know, a little bit later, we went back into the house, like cleaned off, like went out for dinner. Next day, we went out for a hike. This was a very long dream I had. I dream very intensely and I dream very deeply. And we were just, you know, all on vacation together. It was so beautiful. And now that is my new goal in life.
Yeah.
Let's manifest this.
My life is going to get better when I get to just go on like a weekend trip with you guys.
That sounds like we have two things on our to-do list. We need to plan a TDC team vacay. And like 10 years from now, like a really big TDC reunion, like with all the guests.
Oh my God. TDC Woodstock.
TDC Woodstock. Yes. TDC Woodstock. Dude.
It's great. It has everything. It has a rock concert. It has people making out. It has people networking. It has people becoming friends. What doesn't it have? It has food. It has drinks. It has everything. What else do we need? Should we put a playpen in there? Happily, I will put a playpen in there. Sounds amazing. An arcade. Let's do that.
You're missing the samosas.
Samosas.
I will batch make samosas for you guys. Forget it. Not just samosas. I will make some Bengali mishtis. You know I can make... I have that mishti shop blood in me. And I can do it. I will make some dope-ass gulab jamun rush. Whatever you want.
Gulab jamun.
I got you.
Gulab jamun I can eat forever.
Booty. Whatever you want.
I make a good pie. It's not Indian, but... y'all should try it.
Oh my God, I have some fusion recipes. Woo! I'm gonna make some of those.
You got
to come to see what they are because they are so good.
When's this happening?
I don't know. You said 10 years. I think it could be sooner. Let's do it tomorrow.
I'm game. You heard it here first. Everybody's invited.
And I've just signed myself up to cook so much.
Come by and network and maybe hook up.
Yes, guys, you're all invited. We're making out, we're networking, we're going to a rock, we're doing everything.
I love it.
All right, I'm adding this to my calendar right now.
Tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, that is our episode for today. I'm going to do my best at trying to recreate Thunderstree's outro. All right. Thanks to Thunderstree for allowing us to interview her on her own podcast. We love her very much, and we're so hyped to be a part of her team. If you're interested in learning more, The Daisy Condition is on Twitter at @TDCPodcast_ and on all other socials at The Daisy Condition. Our website is TDCPodcast.com, and you can reach out to us via email at TheDaisyCondition@gmail.com. If you're on a platform from which you can leave ratings and reviews, please consider doing so. All right, here we go. Stay healthy, stay safe, make good decisions, and we will see you very soon for season 4.
Ravi,
yeah,
your inflections were perfect. You're that basically me.
I've listened to it like over 20 times.
I love that. I love that. Okay.
I've just internalized the Thunderstree energy.
And you're doing such a good job. Have a great day, everybody. Be a good person. Bye.